Sunday, 25 July 2021. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. Clouds are the problem. Yes, that and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we're going to start out with some news from Israel today. But before I do, I want to let you know, a lot of people that have watched the update over the years, the report that we do, are familiar with Isaac in Uganda. He's a wonderful guy. He does a lot for the people there. He's always helpful. He's very responsive when people email him. Not too long ago, he had an accident. I may have mentioned this during the report a couple weeks ago. He had an accident and he burned himself very badly. He was in the hospital and he's out of the hospital. And one of the things that he was able to do after all the years of ministering to other people, he sent me an email. He was as excited as a little child. He said, "I finally bought a little piece of land." And I said, "Are you talking about, you mean for a home?" And he said, "Yes." So someday he wants to build a house on this land. And so if you want to help him, unless you tell him this is for you, Isaac, he's going to take care of the people. That's what he does. He just expends his life for the people around him. He's built houses for people. He's built schools for people, and he has no home of his own. And so if you want to help him, let me know. I'll tell you how to send him some money, and hopefully we can get Isaac into his own home. There you go, just so you know that. Okay, news from Israel. From Israel Hayom. The Lapid-Bennett government's foreign policy doctrine. This is a long article, but I think it's worth telling you what the status of the government in Israel is right now. From Prime Minister Bennett's stunning assault against his predecessor Netanyahu at the Knesset, through Foreign Minister Yair Lapid's trip to Brussels and his speech before the Global Forum on Anti-Semitism this week, which was earlier last week, the Lapid-Bennett government's foreign policy doctrine was fully exposed. One of the novel aspects of Bennett and Lapid's governing arrangements is that there doesn't appear to be any tension between them on foreign policy. In all previous unity governments, there were great tensions as the prime minister, who hailed from one side of the ideological spectrum, and his foreign minister, who hailed from the other. Each pulled Israel's foreign policy in opposite directions, with the prime minister ultimately gaining the upper hand. There is none of that in the Lapid-Bennett government, and this week we discovered why that is the case. There is no tension because there is no competition. Lapid controls everything. Bennett is an afterthought at best. In his speech at the Knesset, Bennett didn't lay out a policy for preventing Iran from developing a nuclear arsenal in the face of U.S. support for the regime and its military nuclear program. Instead, he threw an adolescent fit against Netanyahu, replete with weird mimicry and obvious slanders. Bennett alleged ridiculously that Netanyahu did nothing to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons during his long tenure in office. That's as insane of a thought as it could be. Netanyahu almost expended... Yeah, oh, absolutely. That guy, Netanyahu, you may not have agreed with him on everything, but he did a lot to keep Iran from getting that nuclear bomb that they're trying to get. So that there is just laughable. But usually, shortly after a new prime minister enters office, he flies to Washington to meet the U.S. president. Bennett is in no hurry. His meeting with Biden is scheduled for the second half of August. Now, what's going to happen in August? I kind of made a connection here. What's going to happen in August? They're going to have a new president in Iran. Remember, they just went through their elections. And so he's obviously just dithering. He's dithering. He doesn't want to get involved in this process, which means he's agreeing with Biden that this guy should be in there as the president, and then they'll make this nuclear deal. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I can't think of any other reason why he would delay this until after August, when that new president in Iran is installed. But we'll see. The delay is telling. By the time he arrives at the White House, by Rouhani's telling, Iran will have reached nuclear breakout capacity. The butcher of Tehran, Ebrahim Raisi, will have been sworn in as Iran's new president. As the sanctions removal made clear, with or without a nuclear deal by mid-August, the Biden admin will have massively enriched Iran by lifting certain limitations on trade and unfreezing accounts. I've mentioned all of those things. In other words, by the time Bennett is scheduled to shake Biden's hand, it will likely be too late to change the course of events on Iran. It was Lapid, not Bennett, who rushed to meet with his U.S. counterpart, Secretary of State Blinken, almost immediately after taking office. In their meeting in Rome, Lapid set out the government's policy on Iran. He gave Blinken his pledge of zero surprises. That is, Lapid promised that Israel would not take action against Iran that wasn't first coordinated with or approved by the pro-Iran Biden administration. That is national suicide. I'm telling you, that's what that is. Having divested Israel from its power to independently act against Iran, Lapid turned his attention to Europe. He participated in the monthly meeting of EU foreign ministers. In his address to his European counterparts, Lapid laid out his credo for strengthening EU-Israel ties. In addition to sharing common values like human rights and LGBT rights, Lapid said, "I want to base our relations on something more that usually isn't discussed in international diplomacy. Optimism. Optimism is a political force," Lapid exulted. "I want exactly what she said." He's acting like a Democrat over there. I mean, the entire thing is insane. "I want for us to work together on this, on the chance of a better future. Every year, the EU spends millions of dollars financing the operations of NGOs that wage political warfare against Israel, often in cooperation with terrorist organizations. These EU-financed and directed NGOs wage boycott campaigns targeting Israel, companies, nationals, Jewish supporters abroad, and companies that do business with Israel. They demonize the IDF and its soldiers. They sabotage government and military operations through lawfare in Israeli courts and international bodies. They seek to undermine Israel's social cohesion by radicalizing Israeli Arabs and other minority groups. Some of the EU finance groups are controlled by the PFLP terror group." In his remarks, Lapid ignored all of this and tried to reduce this open hostility and aggression to a difference of opinion based on ignorance. Now, if he thinks he's going to get the EU to come to Israel's side and start agreeing with everything Israel does because he's waffling with them, he does not understand the world in which we live. And this is the difference between our previous administration and the one we have now. Everything is appeasement now. Everything is appeasement, and it will never work. The other side will always take advantage of it and always take you to the cleaners. And that's what's going to happen. Jerusalem Post. Exclusive, IDF sees sharp increase in Muslim draft. Now, when they say draft, it doesn't mean the same thing as here. Here in the U.S., when we have a draft, that means you go whether you want to or not. There in Israel, people volunteer for the military. So it means that Muslims are volunteering for the military. And now, the reason why I included this is because we've been told that again and again over the past 2 months that Israel is an apartheid state and that nobody wants to deal with Israel within Israel except the Israelis, meaning the Jews, and nobody else. So here you go. Even in the wake of Operation Guardian of the Walls and the violent rioting in mixed cities and other towns, the IDF presented encouraging statistics that show a sharp rise in the number of Muslims drafting to the IDF. Some 606 Muslim Arabs drafted to the IDF in 2020, compared to 489 in 2019 and 436 in 2018. They know that they're going to get good pay. They're not going to be treated badly. They end up loving Israel. They do videos of how proud they are to serve in the military. I've seen countless number of videos where these have come out. And you won't hear this outside of Israel, so I'm telling you this. More than half of those who have been drafted went to combat roles. The number of those drafted to the Bedouin Reconnaissance Unit has almost doubled in 2 years, from 84 in 2018 to 171 in 2020. In 2017, only 45 people were drafted to the unit. In light of the increase, the IDF now opens 2 platoons for basic training for each draft. So you see, they are not an apartheid state. They are integrating people into their military that volunteer. They are under no obligation to serve in the military of Israel. Only Jews are. And yet these people are volunteering and going in because they understand the importance of the country they live in and the government that is formed over them. From All Israel, in a victory for BDS, Ben and Jerry's to stop selling ice cream in the Israeli settlements. Now, I'm sure you heard about that. Next article, Times of Israel. Israel's envoy to U.S. asked 35 states to use anti-BDS laws against Ben and Jerry's. Two of those states have already come out and started paperwork on this, Florida and Texas. And I wouldn't be surprised if the other 33 do. Now, I'm not going to report on Florida and Texas because they are initiating the process. And my guess is that when they say Florida, DeSantis, I read the letter. He says he sent it to a committee to check it out, to find out what to do. And he said, this is in accord with our laws, our BDS laws in the state. And I would like you to review it. If this violates it, I would like all of our Florida support for Ben and Jerry's to be pulled. Now, you get two or three states to do that, or 33 states, and Ben & Jerry's is going to waffle, just like Uber did, just like everybody else did. So I hope this happens, because what is happening here is wrong. Whether you agree with Israel or not is irrelevant. What Ben & Jerry's is doing is wrong, and they need to be called out for it. So we'll see where it goes. Just
buy
wanted
Haagen-Dazs.
To give that. They what?
Buy
yeah.
Haagen-Dazs.
Buy Haagen-Dazs. Okay, from I like Breyers. Breyers is my ice cream. The Breyers with the vanilla bean, the little black vanilla beans all over in there. And then either take raspberry, that's really good, or real maple syrup. Those two things are the best on Breyers vanilla ice cream. So that's my recommendation for you. Okay, let's see here. From I24, Israel to host Miss Universe pageant for the first time in December. At this point, it hardly matters, because what they have are not all women up there, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, now we got some news concerning the state of Christianity. Just so you know, the daily commentary that I post on the Superior Word website is now also posted on Sermon Audio every single day. Wade had just volunteered to do that, and he's been posting them there. So if you can't get the Superior Word website for some reason, just go to Sermon Audio and click on blog. And there it is every day, the commentary we're in Revelation right now. We're in Revelation 26 today, I think, or something like that. Anyway, 20, verse 6, not Revelation 26, because there is no Revelation chapter 26. All right, from LifeSite, Government of Washington, D.C. must pay $200,000 to church it restricted during lockdown. I'm loving to see these, one after another, coming out. D.C. will pay $200,000 as a part of a settlement of a lawsuit for restricting religious services during the coronavirus lockdown. Last September, Capitol Hill Baptist Church sued the district after the government banned outdoor religious services with more than 100 people in attendance. They argued that the restrictions unfairly burden religious institutions compared to secular entities. In October 2020, Trump appointed U.S. District Court Judge Trevor McFadden ruled in favor of the church, maintaining that the current restrictions substantially burden the church's exercise of religion. So, based on his judgment, then it went to the whatever process to decide the fine, and they were fined $200,000. Good job. From the Christian Headlines, this guy has lost his mind. Pastor Robert Jeffress encourages pro-lifers to take vaccine. Value life outside the womb. Okay, that's his little take on this. I'm going to talk about this, and I just want you to know, on YouTube, I'm not saying that he's out of his mind for telling you to get a vaccine. That's a personal choice. He's out of his mind because of the stand he's taken in relation to the stand he is making. So here we go. Texas Pastor Robert Jeffress is encouraging pro-life Christians to consider taking the COVID-19 vaccine, saying it is consistent with a pro-life ethic. That's his argument of selflessness and considering the needs of others. Jeffress also says it bothers him to hear evangelicals argue, my body, my choice with the vaccine. He says, that's what the pro-abortion people say. No kidding. We're using their argument against them. The guy has got to be an idiot. Anyway, we'll go on. I think somebody who is as pro-life and outspoken on that as I am has a duty to be consistent with that. So he's saying that this is a moral obligation to protect people, and I have a duty based on that. Now listen to this. I believe if we are intent on protecting life inside the womb, which I am, we need to also be careful to value life outside the womb and do everything we can to preserve it. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Does everybody know what all five of the vaccines are based on? All five of them?
Aborted fetus cells.
Two of them actually use aborted fetus cells in their injections. But all five of them are based on research from the murder of unborn children. You talk about a man that doesn't understand consistency. This is the guy. I don't know anything about him. I've never heard one of his sermons, but this guy is not a smart or intelligent or a moral human being. If you like him, That's fine. Don't watch this update anymore. But this is criminal stupidity. That's what this is. Jeffress then quoted Philippians 2, 3, and 4, saying, it's the controlling passage for him on the issue. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also look out for the interest of others. Have this added. What about the babies that are being murdered to support the stem cells for these injections? Have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus, who gave himself, was crucified for our sin payment. He's taking a verse out of context, and then he's trying to get people duped into taking a vaccine based on an argument against the argument he's using. That is shame and guilt, and he's shameful for doing it. Mail Online, Capitol rioter who told cop she wanted to lynch Nancy Pelosi, quotes the Bible in court saying the law doesn't apply to her because she's a sovereign citizen and has a divine empowerment. That's the exact opposite. That's a person that does not know scripture and that should probably be committed. All right, some news from the Mideast and Africa today, from the Al Jazeera. Iran's Zarif claims to Parliament that the U.S. is preparing to lift nearly all sanctions in nuclear talks. I think he's probably right. He's probably been talking to them in the back, and that is coming. That's my guess. From Breitbart, Austria becomes first European country to ban Islamist Muslim Brotherhood. Good job, Austria. Yeah. The law bans the Egyptian-founded Muslim Brotherhood by adding it to a list of organizations linked to religiously motivated crime. It sets a punishment of a month in prison and a 4,000 euro fine for those who propagate the group's literature or disseminate its slogans. The law also allows the government to place electronic tags on convicted terrorists for monitoring. Good. The ban comes as a part of an anti-terrorist package the Austrian parliament passed and which was created in response to the Vienna terror attack on November 2nd, where an Islamic radical murderer murdered four people and injured 23 others. So there you go with that. Muslim Brotherhood is now banned in Austria. Mail Online. EU's top court says employers can ban religious clothing after two German women who wore Islamic headscarves launched a legal battle. EU's top court has ruled employers may forbid the wearing of visible symbols. Courts in member states should weigh up whether ban is genuine need. They must also consider the rights and interests of the employee, but at least they can do that now. They can ban these things. Zero Hedge. White House transfers its first Gitmo detainee to Morocco in effort to shut down the facility. The Biden White House announced its first transfer of a detainee from Gitmo as part of a previously reported plan to quietly pursue a permanent closure of the high-security military prison, which since 9/11 has controversially housed terror masterminds as well as suspects rounded up in the wake of the 2001 invasion of Afghanistan. The Hill identified 56-year-old Abdul Latif Nasser as the detainee who has been repatriated to Morocco after the 2016 Periodic Review Board deemed that his detention no longer remained necessary to protect against a continuing significant threat to the national security of the United States. Despite this 2016 judgment, no action was taken to move Nasser out of Gitmo either during Obama's final year in office or Trump's 4 years. The number of detainees at Gitmo is now at 39. Military documents allege that Nasser had traveled to Afghanistan for jihad and engaged in combat actions against U.S. troops. Trump had previously accused the Obama admin of returning terrorists to the battlefield for efforts to send inmates back to their countries of origin. Presumably, other repatriations to foreign countries are currently being negotiated. These people will be right back fighting our people again in the near future. Mark my words on this. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From The Guardian, Mongolia is home to the world's first national park. Did you know that? The first national park in the entire world is in the country of Mongolia. Yes, in 1783, the Mongolian government, under the control of the Qing dynasty, established Bogd Khan Ul, a mountain that overlooks today's capital of Ulaanbaatar, as a protected reserve and the world's first national park. It remains a national park, UNESCO Biosphere Reserve, and popular hiking spot to this day. Had no idea. The book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Next Gen News. This does not sound like a good idea. I don't recommend anybody in this church do this, okay? Injectable swarms of brain-reading nanosensors are now a reality. A team of scientists has developed a new kind of biosensor that can be injected straight into the bloodstream and will then travel to your brain, where they will monitor your neural activity, even potentially your thoughts. The cell-sized nanosensors can cross the blood-brain barrier to the brain, where they convert neural activity into electrical signals, allowing them to be read and interpreted by machinery. The tech could help grant extra mobility to people with disabilities, in addition to helping scientists understand human thought better than before. However, they haven't yet been tested on humans or even animals. NeuroSwarm 3 can convert the signals that accompany thoughts to remotely measurable signals for high-precision brain-machine interfacing. It will enable people suffering from physical disabilities to effectively interact with the external world and control wearable exoskeleton technology to overcome limitations of the body. It could also pick up early signatures of neural diseases. It's also a notably different approach to the problem of brain-computer interfaces from most high-profile attempts, including Elon Musk's Neuralink, which are working on implant-based solutions instead of nanosensor swarms. During tests, the team found that their nanosensor swarm is sensitive enough to pick up on the activity of individual brain cells. Single neuron readings aren't new, but the ability to detect them with free-floating sensors, and especially the ability to wirelessly broadcast them through a patient's thick skull, is an impressive technological development. If further tests continue to pan out, those capabilities could make real-time neuroscientific research simpler and neurological medicine more sophisticated. Now, if it's there for somebody that's, you know, an invalid that can't move and that needs to move, I could see him saying, yes, I want you to try this on me. Other than that, I would never recommend something like that. You know, who knows what they're going to get in and turn you into. What was that movie where the guy, the senator's son was the Manchurian candidate? Thank you, Charlie. You got such a good brain. That's what this could be, the Manchurian candidate. All right, Mail Online. Japan smashes the record for data transmission speed, achieving 319 terabits per second along an 1,864-mile-long optic cable, fast enough to transfer 10,000 HD movies in 1 second. Yes, talk about download and upload speeds. Researchers split a fiber optic cable into four individual cores to boost speed. They then sent data with a laser and split it into 552 unique channels of light. These are split between the cores and sent out along the cable at great speed. It is fast enough to transfer 10,000 high-definition movies in about 1 second. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From Breitbart. Okay, now I have a question for you. When I get to the end of this article, I want you to try to develop your own question. I'll say mine, and you can just say it to yourself. But I have a question concerning this. Sibelius. This is from Breitbart. Sibelius. Everybody remember Captain or Kathleen, whatever her name is, Sibelius. She was Obama's health something or another, whatever. Okay, Sibelius. Unvaccinated Americans should not be allowed to work or have access to children. Sibelius said, we're in a situation where we have a widely effective vaccine. That's her words, okay? Multiple choices, lots available, free of charge, and we have folks who are just saying, I won't do it. She added, so I think we're reaching that point in the United States where those of us who are vaccinated, I want to take off my mask. I want to be able to live my life with vaccination. And right now, I'm being impinged on by people who say, I don't want to get vaccinated. It's fine. I want them to maybe have a limitation on where they can go and who they can possibly infect. Now, here's my question. If you have a wildly effective vaccine, then what does it matter if I don't get it? What does it matter? And I have asked this before, and I'm going to continue to ask this every single week until somebody gives me an answer. Why do we need to vaccinate people that don't want to be vaccinated if the vaccines are effective? That's what I want somebody, anybody, YouTube, anybody, just tell me why. That's all I want to know. If they're wildly effective, then why do people that don't want to take it, and maybe I've taken 20 of them, I'm not making a statement on taking it or not taking it, okay, YouTube? I'm just asking the question, why force somebody to do something? My friend was emailing me from Australia this morning, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. He reminded me of it this morning. In the Bible, and up until 2 years ago in world history, when somebody was sick, you took that person and you told them to isolate. Now you have entire nations isolating because of a couple of sick people. Nothing makes any sense anymore. Nothing. But if these vaccines are effective, then I want to know why people have to take them. That's what I want to know. Somebody just send me an email and explain it to stupid Charlie, okay? Because I don't know.
My question is different.
Yes.
When will Democrats realize we're not as stupid as
they? I'm not going to repeat that one. From NTD, Biden claims fully vaccinated people cannot get COVID-19. He said this a day ago. Okay, vaccinated people cannot get COVID-19. Then what is Sebelius worried about? And why do people that don't want to get this vaccine have to get the vaccine? That's all I want is an answer to that question. From the Epic Times, LA County issues mandate requiring masks indoors regardless of vaccination status. From the Epic Times again, LA County sheriff says he will not enforce new indoor mask mandate. He's had enough. I'm not going to do it. Zero Hedge, roughly 30% of illegal immigrants in ICE custody have refused a COVID vaccine. Now, they get an exemption, but the American populace is being told they're criminals for not getting one. I want to know why this is the case. Breitbart, Gretchen Whitmer, coronavirus vaccination raffle gimmick falls 95% short of goal. She said, we're going to have a raffle. If you get your vaccines, 95% fail. Telegraph, British, yes, British ministers decide against mass vaccination for teens. Saving kids' life one vax at a time. Breitbart, NFL recommends teams use color-coded wristbands to identify vaccinated players and employees. So what are you going to do? I can't tackle him. He doesn't have the band. I mean, what do you do? They'll have those little flags, those stupid little flags when you were in elementary school and you pull the flag and, okay, you're down. That's what they're going to have to do. From the Gateway Pundit, UK study, people who have been vaccinated make up 47% of new COVID cases. So Biden lied. He lied. He openly lied. Zero Hedge. This is worrying me quite a bit. mRNA vaccine inventor shares viral thread showing COVID surge in most vaxxed countries. This is the mRNA vaccine inventor. He says that we are showing COVID surge in the most vaxxed countries. Now, you explain that to me. I'm just reading the article. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just simply saying this is what this guy reported. He developed the thing, and he's saying that this is the case. Dr. Robert Malone, a pioneer in the field of mRNA vaccines, shared a Twitter thread which lays out a disturbing trend. Now, if this wasn't true, Twitter would have taken it down. That's all there is to it. So it's got to be true, okay? Twitter thread which lays out a disturbing trend. The most vaccinated countries in the world are experiencing a surge in COVID-19 cases, while the least vaccinated countries are not. From BBC, HMS Queen Elizabeth, COVID outbreak on Navy flagship. The flagship of the UK Navy. Now listen to this. The BBC has been told there have been around 100 cases on the aircraft carrier, which is partway through a world tour. Defense Secretary Wallace said all crew on the deployment had received two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine, and the outbreak was being managed. How can it be managed if they all got vaccinated before they left and now they have 100 cases? How is that being managed? From Gizmodo, the worst European floods in 100 years have left 120 dead, 1,300 missing. Here it is, with climate change, we do expect all hydrometeorological extremes to become more extreme. Carlo can't pronounce his last name, the director of the Copernicus Climate Change Service at the European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecasts, said, "What we have seen in Germany is broadly consistent with this trend." Well, how can that be? It's the worst flood in 100 years, which means 100 years ago they had a flood that bad. How can it be climate change? I just want somebody to answer the question. Just please answer the question. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. Mail Online. Breaking boundaries on a beach. Lena Bloom makes history as Sports Illustrated Swimsuit's first transgender cover star. TV Line. Emmys. Poses MJ Rodriguez makes history. Becomes first trans woman nominated in lead acting category. Epic Times. Trans individuals sue Montana over proof of sex change requirement to amend birth certificates. So I'm transgender, but I don't want to change my gender. I just want to sue you. It doesn't make any sense. Mail Online. NFL announcer. They will play the Black National Anthem before the Star-Spangled Banner during every week. One game, and players may feature names of police brutality victims on their helmets. I would never watch another NFL game in my life. Ever. Never. I would never watch not 1 minute of NFL. Not that I get TV anyway, but I would never watch it. After that disgrace. Some other news from around the world, and please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. You'll get a lot more information than you will out of a weekly prophecy update. Okay, before I give you my first article from the other section, I'd like to recommend that you read the book Color, Communism, and Common Sense by, or you can go on YouTube. Watch this video, and then I'll give you the book that it's about, okay? This is on YouTube. It's called Color, Communism, and Common Sense by G. Edward Griffin. It's a short video, maybe 9 minutes long. Color, Communism, and Common Sense, G. Edward Griffin. And he cites a book by Manning Johnson, a black man who was a communist and who realized, I think it was in the 40s, that we are being used. And he gave up on his commie stand, and he cites this man. And what this guy, Manning Johnson, says is exactly what is happening right now in the United States. Exactly. So go watch the video and then go read the book, which you can read online, I think. Okay, now I'm going to repeat this, and I'll probably have to delete his comments because they're not going to hear him. What Vic just said is that the book is very short. You can get it. It's only about 100 pages long, and the publisher has a detail of critical race theory as an addendum to the back of Manning Johnson's book. So there you go if you want to read that. I do recommend it. At least watch the video. It'll only take a couple minutes of your time. Okay, Zero Hedge. Capital rioter sentenced to 8 months. Not accused of assaulting anyone or damaging any property. Paul Allard Hodgkins was not charged with property destruction or assault, yet contributed to the collective threat to democracy. So all he had to do was walk onto the Capitol premises, and now the thought police have taken over. He intended to do something, even though he didn't do anything. This is what's going to happen to all 500 of these people that are up there right now. Okay? According to prosecutors who sought 18 months. Meanwhile, hundreds of Antifa and BLM rioters, looters, and vandals have had their charges dropped across the country. Some of them destroying federal property, and they've all been dropped, all of their charges. In pronouncing the sentence, Judge Randolph Moss said that Hodgkins had played a role, if not as significant as others, in one of the worst episodes in American history. Wow. That was not, by any stretch of the imagination, a protest, Moss says. It was an assault on democracy. He added, it left a stain that will remain on us, on the country, for years to come. The sentencing could set the bar for punishments of hundreds of other defendants as they decide whether to accept plea deals or go to trial. Hodgkins and others are accused of serious crimes, but were not indicted, as some others were, for roles in larger conspiracies. What does he do? Sedke asked the court. He walks towards it. He doesn't walk away, adding that Hodgkins was among a mob that forced lawmakers and staffers to seek shelter throughout the building. Now, don't panic. I'm going to read something in a minute. and may bear emotional scars for many years, if not forever. These politicians are a bunch of sissies up there, and they're claiming they've got PTSD. Send them over to Afghanistan and let them handle things over there for a month. Hodgkin's defense attorney slammed the use of the phrase domestic terrorism by government prosecutors, saying in court that the term is offensive and gaslighting the country, and it needs to stop. It was a protest that became a riot, period, full stop. Okay, so you heard that. They're blaming this guy on giving the people PTSD, chasing them out of the Capitol building. Next article, Gateway Pundit. It was all a lie. Congress was evacuated on January 6th due to a pipe bomb threat, not because of Trump supporters walking halls. It was never an insurrection. It was never an armed mob. It was a pipe bomb found outside of the RNC on the day of the protests, and they've never found the culprit. Funny how that works. The discovery of a pipe bomb outside the RNC headquarters in Washington on January 6th prompted police to evacuate two congressional buildings, not, as was believed, the attack on the U.S. Capitol. U.S. Capitol Police learned of the discovery of two pipe bombs on Capitol Hill around the same time, just before 1 p.m. Capitol Police responded to one bomb discovered by an RNC staff member at the organization's office just a few blocks from the Capitol. Metropolitan Police Department officers responded to a second pipe bomb that was spotted outside the nearby DNC headquarters. Each department sent officers to respond, hurting the Capitol Police's ability to secure the Capitol since MPD was called to the Capitol minutes after the bombs were discovered. That resulted in the evacuation of two congressional buildings, the Cannon House office building, as well as one of the Library of Congress buildings. So the assault on the Capitol is not what caused the evacuation of those buildings. The discovery of those pipe bombs is what caused the evacuation of those, asked Republican Oklahoma Senator James Langford. That is correct, said Police Chief Sund. We got people going to prison and having their lives destroyed because of this. From YouTube, MSNBC, GOP is greater national security threat than Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Somebody ought to just sue those people out of existence for saying things like that. Weasel Zippers, Chicago gang members now outnumber police 10 to 1. Breitbart, Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Chicago to dispatch mental health experts on 911 calls instead of cops. Yeah, mental health professionals paired with paramedics will replace cops on some Chicago 911 calls in a first for Mayor Lori Lightfoot's troubled city. The Chicago Times reports in one future pilot program, a paramedic will be dispatched alongside a mental health clinician for behavioral health calls. In another, a paramedic will work with a recovery specialist on calls involving substance abuse. The response restructure comes as Chicago Police Pension Board figures reveal more cops have left the force so far in 2021 than they did in the whole of 2018. In total, 363 officers retired between January and June compared to 339 in 2018 as crime continues to soar across the city. My guess is, before I go on, my guess is that paramedics will start leaving the field in Chicago because their lives are going to be put on the line. The number of homicides and shootings in Chicago spiked dramatically in 2020, ending with more bloodshed than in all but one year in more than two decades. After 3 years of falling homicide totals, 2020 ended with 769 homicides, 274 more than the previous year, and the most since the 784 homicides in 2016. Last year ended with 4,033 shooting victims, compared with 2,598 the year before. Mental health clinicians feel the new arrangements can offset those frontline losses and casualties as they will be on hand at the 911 center to monitor situations. Zero Hedge. Ontario's grade 9 will be taught that mathematics has been used to normalize racism. Yes, this is Ontario. In Ontario, students in grade 9 are now being taught about the subjective nature of math, including the historical use of math to normalize racism. Education Minister Leckie, I guess, or Leachie, I don't know which it is, L-E-C-C-E, anyway, announced that changes in Ontario's curriculum are inclusive of a subjective and decolonial approach to mathematics. The Ontario Ministry's website says an equitable mathematics curriculum recognizes that mathematics can be subjective. Yes, 1 + 1 = 3. Mathematics is often positioned as an objective and pure discipline. However, the content and the context in which it is taught, the mathematicians who are celebrated, and the listen, if you develop a mathematical model, you're the guy that developed it. It doesn't matter what color you are. Exactly. It's insane. Then the importance that is placed upon mathematics by society are subjective. Mathematics has been used to normalize racism and marginalization of non-Eurocentric mathematical knowledges. And a decolonial, anti-racist approach to mathematics education makes visible its historical roots and social constructions. As part of the curriculum, teachers are going to be required to promote cross-curricular learning and human rights to create anti-racist, anti-discriminatory learning environments in mathematics.
So they're doing away with division?
They're doing away with division, exactly. From the Epoch Times, 41% of Baltimore high school students earn below 1.0 grade point average, 41% of them. A significant number, I'd say so, of Baltimore public high school students earned below a D grade point average during the first three quarters of the 2020-2021 school year.
Shocking.
Zero Hedge. The Economist used to be an almost decent publication. The Economist publishes bizarre story bemoaning lack of diversity in the Italian squad. The soccer team. You know why? It's because the Italian football team is made of Italians. The Economist published a bizarre article bemoaning the lack of diversity in the Italian football team, with some asking if the same complaint would be made about Nigeria or Ghana. Yeah. Or try that one with China, folks.
Yeah. Can I ask my question again?
What's your question? Oh, yeah, no, I'm not. Mail Online. Clouds will amplify. Here, are clouds the problem? The subject of this report this week? Clouds will amplify global warming by reflecting less solar radiation and enhancing the greenhouse effect, and could push temperatures more than twice as high as climate targets, study warns. Clouds are the problem. We've got to get rid of all clouds now. Can you imagine even having that as a... I don't know. You tell me. Mail Online. This is a worse problem, folks.
They're white.
Oh, your clouds are white. That explains it. Get rid of the clouds. Thank you. That's exactly why. Mail Online. Wild pigs release around 4.9 million metric tons of carbon dioxide annually across the globe, the equivalent of 1.1 million cars, a study finds. So now they're saying to get rid of all wild pigs. Just get rid of everything. Just get rid of the clouds, get rid of the pigs, just blow up the world so we don't have to worry about the world being destroyed by climate change.
Exactly.
From the Epoch Times, Michigan Senate repeals emergency powers law, Whitmer unable to veto. They took away her power and she cannot veto it. Breitbart, China builds Myanmar border wall to stop coronavirus spread. Wait, what? China builds Myanmar border wall?
Oh.
They're racists. Breitbart, Bidenflation, cost of gas, used cars up 45%. Car rentals are up 88%. Breitbart, Bidenflation, bacon hits highest price ever. My suggestion, eat more wild pigs.
Yeah.
Weasel Zippers, U.S. women's soccer, this was at the beginning of the week, U.S. women's soccer team gets humiliated at the Olympics, loses 3-0 to Sweden. And my thought is a little less kneeling, a little more practice, and you might win. Got a less trick here for you. Chicago most never gets right. What to do with crimes done by night? There are shootings galore. Social workers help more than cops would. That town is a fright. Food for thought, I'm sure. Okay, who said it? The best way to keep a prisoner from escaping is to make sure he never knows he's in prison.
Yeah.
I'm going to blow it. Sergio, please don't correct my Russian. Fyodor Dostoevsky. Yes, I'm sure it's pronounced, I wouldn't even try. Every time I say something in Russian, Sergio comes back with this abuse. Okay. All right, we got a bit of irony here for you today, and we will be done. Gateway Pundit. President Trump says his suit against big tech is to protect free speech. YouTube blocks his CPAC speech. Yes. Mail Online. Snake expert who claimed he was immune to venom is killed when cobra bites him as he tries to kiss it. Yeah. Such is the world we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.